Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare
Ram. Finish, finish. You tell me.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Gopi Jana Vallava Grivada Dhari Pichana Vallava Grivada Dhari Dasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Vrajajana Ranjana Ramona Chira Vanachari Ravanachari Yamuna Chira Vanachari Ravanachari Jai Radha Madhava Kunjabi Dhani Radha Madhava Kunjabi Dhani Gopi Jana Vallava Grivada Dhari Grivada Dhari Gopi Jana Vallava Grivada Dhari Pichana Vallava Grivada Dhari Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Vrajajana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana Dana Vrajajana Ranjana Yamuna Chira Vanachari Ravanachari Yamuna Chira Vanachari Vanachari Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Putale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ite Namine Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Uttale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ite Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirgasesha Sunyavadi Paskachada Jatarine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirgasesha Sunyavadi Paskachada Jatarine
Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadha Shri Vasari Bhaktavinda Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadha Shri Vasudeva Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Pada Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Om Vishnupada Padmahansa Bhagavachara Asoka Sata Shishamad Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jaya Om Vishnupada Paramahansa Bhagavachara Aso Tasata Sri Shamana Divine Grace Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Namachari Sri Haridasa Kaur Ki Jai Premasagaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pravanajanam Sri Advaita Gadaha Shivasati Go Bhaktivinoda Ki Vrindavan Dham Ki Mayapur Dham Ki Dwarka Dham Ki Munamaya Gangamayi Ki Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Gornitaya Ki Radha Shama Sundarita Vishaka Ki Bhakti Devi Tulsimarayana Ki Go Pramanandi All glory is the symbol of devotees. All glory is the symbol of devotees. All glory is the symbol of devotees. All glory is the Sisi Guru and Guranga. All glory is the Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevayam. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 28, Text 2. Swa Dharma Acharanam Vidyamak Saktya Vidyamak Cha Nivartanam Dailyal Labena Santosa Atmavik Charanamrinam Swadharma Charam Sakya Vidakmakni Navartanam Daivala Vena Sontasya Atmavik Charanachanam Swadharma Charanam Sakya Vidharmakcha Nivartanam Daiva Lobena Tantasha Atma Vikcharananchanam. Ardhanam Charan Chakya Vidharmakcha Nivartanam Vaivaldina Santasha Atmadik Charananam. Ladies. Swadharma Achanam, executing one's prescribed duties. Satya, to the best of one's ability. Vidharmat, unauthorized duties. Cha, and Nivartanam, avoiding. Daivat, by the grace of the Lord. Labdena, with what is achieved. Santosha, satisfied. Atmavit, of the self-realized soul. Charana, the feet. Archanam, worshipping. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One should execute his prescribed duties to the best of his ability and avoid performing duties not allotted to him. One should be satisfied with as much gain as he achieves by the grace of the Lord. And one should worship the lotus feet of a spiritual master. Please repeat. One should execute his prescribed duties to the best of his ability and avoid performing duties not allotted to him. One should be satisfied with as much gain as he achieves by the grace of the Lord. And one should worship the lotus feet of a spiritual master. Well, that tells everything. That's the sum and substance. There's no more to say. But we'll go ahead and say a little more. Purport. In this verse, there are many important words which could be very elaborately explained, but we shall briefly discuss the important aspects of each. The final statement is Atmavit Charananam. Atmavit means a self-realized soul or bona fide spiritual master. Unless one is self-realized and knows what his relationship with the supersoul is, he cannot be a bona fide spiritual master. Now that's a very heavy statement Prabhupada makes. Here it is recommended that one should seek out a bona fide spiritual master and surrender unto him. Archanam. For by inquiring from and worshiping him, one can learn spiritual activities. The first recommendation is Swa Dharma Charanam. As long as we have this material body, there are various duties prescribed for us. Such duties are divided by a system of four social orders: Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. These particular duties are mentioned in the Vedas, in the Shastras, and particularly in Bhagavad Gita. Swadharma Charanam means that one must discharge the prescribed duties of his particular division of society faithfully and to the best of his ability. One should not accept another's duty. If one is born in a particular society or community, he should perform the prescribed duties for that particular division. If, however, one is fortunate enough to transcend the designation of birth in a particular society or community, by being elevated to the standard of spiritual identity, then his swadharma, or duty, is solely that of serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The actual duty of one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness is to serve the Lord. As long as one remains in a bodily concept of life, he may not act according to the duties of social convention. But if one is elevated to the spiritual platform, he must simply serve the Supreme Lord. That is the real execution of Swadharma. So Prabhupada broke it down into parts. And there's one dialogue that happened in L.A., and Prabhupada's being questioned on this very, very exact point. First, what are prescribed duties? And how to deal with prescribed duties? Okay, in social conventions, we are obliged to do certain things. We're born in a certain community. I was born a Catholic, Roman Catholic, having nothing to do with Rome. My generation comes from there. But these are conventions that are imposed on us at birth. So if we remain in any part of this prescribed limitations as given according to our birth, place of circumstance, wherever we are born, so that means, and also, as we know from Bhagavad Gita, even different religions, give it all up. You know, forget the whole thing and just surrender to me, Krishna says. Okay, so now we know that. We say, okay, give it all up. And as devotees, we've come here, we've done that. As devotees, that's the first obligation. Give it up. And just begin now a new branch of our life as Krishna-conscious devotees, aspiring for purity. So, conventional duties given up, or we ascribe to a whole lifetime of pain and punishment and sinful activities. So Prabhupada equates prescribed duties, anything we do on the outside of Krishna consciousness is sinful. Anything. Now that's another big statement. Prabhupada made these big, broad statements. If you're not in Krishna consciousness, you're doomed. And so big, broad statements. So Prabhupada didn't play around. He wasn't timid. When he made a point, it was strong. So we follow on that because Krishna consciousness is meant to be strong, to be preached, and to be, you know, the razor's edge back home, back to Godhead. So if we think that way, and if we assimilate what we've been given from a bona fide spiritual master, now Prabhupada makes that very clear in the very beginning of the definition of a spiritual master. I'll read it again. Unless one is self-realized and knows what his relationship with the super soul is, he cannot be a bona fide spiritual master. So how many people in the world have that, are self-realized, first off, and know their actual position with the Supreme Lord? Prabhupada had all of that in total. So it's a little watered down as it comes to the next level, but the same idea is there. Self-realization means that all of us here are, in a sense, self-realized because we're here. And so if we accept such a bona fide spiritual master, then our pathway back home is clear. Now, but the outside, they have no access to that. If they don't have a spiritual master, they're not Krishna conscious, they don't know anything about Krishna, then their life is sinful. Everything they do is sinful. There's five major sins. And this is like, it sounds funny, but these are major sins. First, if you rub your body, if you itch your body, you're killing living entities. Just by itching your skin, you're killing germs that are on your surface of your skin. Just by lighting a fire, that's a bigger one. And that's just, you're burning up so many living entities in the wood, whatever material it is in the gober. You're burning up, you know, it's sinful. And also if you pour water, even pouring water. Who would think pouring water is sinful? But you're also destroying living entities. And so these are just, you know, samples of what people do every day. And the worst thing you can do is clean your kitchen. Now, can you imagine? Cleaning your kitchen is sinful, but you're sweeping up, you're killing living entities, and in the body also, if you're taking, you know, a certain laxative, you're killing entities within the body. So the killing process goes on. You can't stop it. Now, to mitigate that, it means you just surrender everything you're doing, become Krishna conscious. Now, if you tell somebody out there, any typical karmi, if you tell them that you're itching, that's sinful. You know, it's not going to reach. It's not going to happen. And so what to speak of killing the cows and, you know, in some places the dogs are eaten instead of the cows, which is, Prabhupada said, well, that's a better story. Now, if you're living in China or one of these places, eat the dog. You know, at least that's not so bad. Or let the cow die and then eat the, if you want, if you're so attached to, you know, dead flesh, eat the dead animals. I've had one friend. I have many friends who are meat eaters. In fact, all my friends in America are meat eaters, everybody I grew up with. And so I'm sitting down to a meal. They invited me to eat with them. And so the first thing they asked, why have you given up eating meat, fish, and eggs? Now, what's wrong with that? He says, now we don't even recognize who you are. And of course, it was a different time then. But I said, I don't eat burnt flesh. I said, okay, don't say anymore. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear the whole story about, what the karma is attached to, these sinful activities. What to speak of a simple thing like cleaning a house. So it goes beyond that now. Okay, now we have this material body for purpose. Prescribed duties come in another way as we become Krishna conscious. Okay, now it's saying here, don't take on a duty of another person. If your duty is prescribed, you know what you want, you should know, but most people don't know. I went to college, and I understand that most people that go to college, they have no idea what they want. They take liberal art courses. They maybe come out with a degree in philosophy or basket weaving, something that has absolutely no application or use in the world. So if you're a professional, a PhD in basket weaving, maybe there's some place. I don't know, but in Krishna consciousness, there's no place. So to go to school to get your PhD, like many devotees are doing this, they're throwing away precious time, going to get their big PhD, and what do they come out with? Just impregnated with all the garbage that had to be taken in order to get that little piece of paper. So don't do that. Prescribed duties means Krishna conscious. It means being everything you do, everything you taste, everything is offered to Krishna. And so bottom line, flat, that's it. So if we do that, then we avoid all the sinful activities that come on every side. And Prabhupada would say, okay, if you're in a particular ashram, stay there. Now, if you're married and your wife goes away, you stay. The wife will have to come back. But if you go out chasing, then there's two losses. So better one stays and let the other, whatever happens. And so many devotees couldn't accept the principles and says, okay, go away if you can't accept. Because if you're not accepting these basic principles, then you're no better than an animal. And Prabhupada says, there are three animals that begin on the advent of human life. We all know the cow, but he also said the monkey and the lion. So these three animals are like on the verge of becoming human again. And be careful to your feathered friends here in Vrindavan, because the dog you may kick may be a Goswami from its last life, and it's not happy in that body. So if you like, take advantage of, be kind to animals, to all living entities. There's no life that one shouldn't be very kind and benedicting, as much care and attention you can give. So now, okay, we have a body, male or female. Now, Prabhupada says, stick to it. Now, if you're in whatever ashram you're in, brahmachari, okay, if you can maintain that, fine. If you can't, get married. And when you become grihastha, that's it. No more illusions of bodily attachment, no more sex life, no more anything. It's just Krishna, and that's it. So that's sannyas. But there was a funny occasion in Los Angeles many years ago. One person, dressed as a devotee, I was sharing, my wife and I shared an apartment with another couple, and this person came in. And so he started plucking his eyebrows out. And so at first I didn't know what he was doing. But then he says, I'm a little confused about my ashram. Some days I'm a brahmachari, some days I want to be a brahmacharini. And so what do you do about that one? And so he wrote to Prabhupada and asked, what should I do? And Prabhupada says, pick one and stick to it. So either you're a man or you're a woman. And there's another one. I just read that a man took the sex change I got pregnant. So you can't say a man can't get pregnant. It's possible. But these are the distortions of the brain. People in this material world are just completely obsessed with so many stupid things. So as we go through life and we encounter people who are in the modes and you try to preach to somebody, especially rich people. So a rich person, the door to Vaikuntha is closed because, the meek and humble have a priority. They got the first line. There's a red line. They go first. So the rich ones, they got to wait off on the side. If you change your, we got this wonderful ship called ISKCON. And if you are not happy with it, you jump overboard, who's going to save you? I mean, there's like many people are doing that. And I wanted to make a point here. So in all things, if we're not working to satisfy the Supreme Lord, then we're working for Maya. And ultimately, Maya is like going to give us a hard time, and you're going to be like a, you know, banged real shortly. So, in terms of my own life, I was born practically as an artist, and I've meant the last 50 years only doing that. And so I accept that as a duty because I was trained in it. And Prabhupada says, okay, get trained and do that. I mean, that's your duty for life. If you're pujari, that means lifetime obligation for the deity. Whatever you do in Krishna consciousness, it means you do that for your whole life. And you don't play around, you know, you're not, you know, waffling around, as it said. But so another point about how to stay Krishna conscious, I'll give you my little secret, is that I fix up my life so full, so packed in that there's no chance. Jayananda was once asked, how do you stay happy and Krishna conscious? He says, I'm too busy to think about it. And so that's the answer. Be so busy, and Krishna is there all the time, on your mind. And Yamaraj, he's telling the Yamadutas, I want you to bring to me all these people who are not thinking of Krishna, who have not dedicated their heart to serving the Lord. I want you to bring me all those people who are like, you know, fruit of active, who are on a fruitive stage and acting for their own benefit, not offering anything to Krishna. I want you to bring those to me, and I will deal with them. So Yamaraj's court is full. And one devotee had a fatal motorcycle accident. He slid into the back of a car, went under it. And so he had a death experience, near death. And so suddenly he realized he's in the court of Yamaraj. And so he sees this very elegant, he's a Mahajan, you know, he's very beautiful, decked in gold. All this ornamentation, a broad chest, and just bare-chested with the gold ornaments. So he sees this guy here. He says, you're devoted. You don't belong here. Get out. Go back. And as soon as he said that, he goes right back into his body, and he's under the car on a motorcycle. And two ladies looking down on him, you know, shocked. So he came that close to death. I mean, Yamaraj was right there. Go back. You're not here. It's too early. So Yamaraj is a fact. If you don't follow the regular principles, it's a fact. You're going to see Yamaraj. This smiling face will be there. And if you have any doubt, that's a story, because he did it. He saw it face to face. So now, as we move along in our Krishna consciousness, there may be upsets and tribulations. There are trials all along the way. In fact, that's the success of a devotee. If you are successful, it means people hate you, they're envious of you, they want to take your position. That means you're successful. So Prabhupada says, you know, don't worry about people on the outside or the inside making trouble for you, because that's your qualification for, that's people behind you pushing you. So we can take it two ways. If people are envious of us for whatever reason, or if they like push us in the wrong direction, take it as mercy. It's all mercy. Sri Gauri Nitai Ki Jai, Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Radha Shyama Sundar Ki Jai. So, Sanatana Goswami, how do you approach the Lord? Kityami, who am I? What am I? We're all left with this very educated personality. He's asking. They say I'm very educated. What do I know? I don't know anything. I don't even know who I am. What's my duty? What should I do for you, my Lord? And so, Prabhupada has asked the same thing. So he's saying, be qualified. Whatever you do, get qualified. Get trained. You know, there's a training program that we all go through. So in that training program, we become better. I've been serving the Lord 30 years here on Radha Shyama Sundar's altar, and still I don't know how to do it. It's like every day you can fine-tune and become a little bit better at everything you do. So that's devotional service. And I've been saying it for years. Every time I give a class, practically, I'm mentioning this fact that my realization was that in order to become pure devotee, you have to do everything as purely as possible, right from the scratch. As soon as you become a devotee, you should think like that. I'm in the most opportune part of my life. Now, I've been in Maya, I have prescribed duties. I was born and raised a certain way, but I left all of that. Now I'm a devotee. My parents, they're crying, lamenting. Luckily, my parents died before, so they didn't cry. But for a person who'd taken on the role of a devotee, okay, now from this point on, you're on a fast track. It's like an escalator. And as soon as you get on it, that's all you got to do. Just get on. And then the rest is almost automatic. You're chanting, you're following the program. Prabhupada says it's so simple, and it's so clear, and the direction is wide open. There's no person who's not going back home if he's following the regular principles. Now, other people may say different. And there are many different disciplines, but Prabhupada said it doesn't matter which way you move, as long as you're moving towards Krishna. You can be Catholic, you can be whatever you want to be. Now, different yoga systems. But if Krishna is the direction, and the pathway is to recognize Krishna in everything, then you're on the right track. But how many do that? How many point to Krishna as the all-in-all? How many people are able to lie, cheat, and steal for Krishna, even kill for Krishna? Now, you may ask, that's a little funny. I mean, who would kill for Krishna? Well, ask Arjuna. He did a good job. Now, he didn't stop killing for a minute. As soon as he understood he had to do it, thousands and thousands and thousands. One devotee had a dream that he was on the battlefield. He was actually there, and he could see in a distance Krishna Arjuna, and the arrows were going in all directions. And it was like just this blinding light coming out of that chariot, and it just all directions. Everybody was being swept away. Just, big rain of terror. So you can imagine having those who were on that battlefield. And anybody who came for it, they came from miles around just to be on a fight. They knew this is going to be a big one. It's going to be a great time here, boy, because there's going to be everybody's going to be killed. I get my chance to kill, too. I may get killed. That's all right. But at least I want to kill somebody. And so they all come. The killers all amassed in one place. Why? Because Krishna wanted to get rid of everybody in one shot. And so he organized like Jarasandha. So many times, keep coming back. Didn't kill him. Why? Bring him back. His job was to kill as many possible miscreants on the planet. It's still going on. And the miscreant killing business comes in the way of hurricanes, tsunamis, tornadoes. Now we expect in the future some wonderful opportunity for preaching because the world is going to be clean of demons, so it's predicted. So we don't know. But in any case, lying is permissible on different occasions from the Shastra. So it says when you're in business, you must lie. Prabhupada was asked like this. Yes, yes, you must lie. That's business. But if you want to do good business, you do very honest and you give a good price and a good product. That was Prabhupada's description for good business. And you can also, excuse me, ladies, but you can also, a man can lie to a lady. Why? I don't know why that's there. But that is also part of the deal. Any case, whatever we do, and the bottom line is here, it's just surrender to Krishna and everything is wonderful. Now, I want to mention, if we understand Swadharma, we understand that we're not bound to the ashram, we're not bound to our social convention. So a lot of people don't understand that one, and they keep sliding back. They keep going back to where their roots were. And they go back and they want to see or preach in their hometown. Many devotees have tried this. And what happens? You get sucked up. Suddenly you're back. And what happens? I've gone back to my hometown, upstate New York. And so when you go there, anybody goes to their hometown, a phenomena takes place. You slide right back into the same hole. It takes so long to crawl out of your hole. It's like a rat, and he goes right back in the hole. And so it's comfortable, it's secure. I mean, a dog now, the dogs are very intelligent because they know in the winter, dig a hole or go into the ground. And a human hasn't done that yet. They haven't learned how to use the underground because the temperature is even. So, like most people who are struggling in life and have no direction, and most people in college are in that framework, they don't know which way to go, turn left or right. They get a degree, they come out, they work a job, they get married very early, become girl pregnant, and then they have to get married. They have no direction, and they bound right away. All the different options are destroyed, and they come back down to one thing. They got to make money, they got to maintain a family, and that's the end of the life. No options. But a devotee is wide open. He has no inabilities. He has every ability to manifest the greatest gift that man can have. That's pure devotional service. So purity begins in this fashion, by doing whatever you have in your hands, whatever it is. My problem, maybe I get into too many things, painting, sculpture, architecture, writing, so many things. But the premise is to do everything for Krishna. If you're doing all this and you're just constantly thinking of Krishna, you know, it can be 24 hours a day. It can even be dreaming. And then your life is perfect. And so the more you take on, it said if you want something done, you go to a person who does a lot of things, who's an active person, he accomplishes. And so that's a devotee. He's a person who can do anything and do it well. And Prabhupada said that. He says, okay, it's mentioned here, do not take someone else's duty. But a devotee is good in all things. He's a master of all things he touches. And he's a singer. He's everything. And so Prabhupada gave that definition. My children, they are expert in all things. So that's our goal, to become expert in all things and do it for Krishna. And if we can do that, then our pathway back home, back to God, is open. I'll open for questions, but I got a couple more things. Any questions at this point? Others went back there. You got a microphone? There's a...
Hare Krishna. To know relationship with Paramatma, can you say something more clearly?
About Paramatma.
To know relationship with Paramatma, the qualification for the bona fide guru.
Say that last part again. Okay, about Paramatma?
The relationship. To know the relationship with Paramatma.
Prabhupada will say, why don't you ask him? You know, we questioned him in Los Angeles and we asked about Lord Brahma and Paramatma. Ask! It's not so hard. He's approachable. You know, you can talk to him. Lord Brahma, now what's he look like? Paramatma. So the approach to Paramatma is, of course, if we can identify the Lord in the heart, in our own heart, ultimately we're in a pure state, because that's ultimately the end result of all yoga systems. The Eightfold Yoga Processes is all inclusive in Bhakti Yoga. So we may strive and hold in our breath and, you know, sitting erect and doing all different yoga systems, but ultimately Paramatma is the direction. So we want that. We want recognizing the Supreme Lord in our heart. And so, you know, we're sitting next to that person in our constitutional position as a jivatma. You know, we're so tiny. And so, but the Lord is directing. And if you are sensitive to it and you hear conscience, conscience is something that we hear and we don't recognize. That's Paramatma. He's in the heart. He's direct. He's telling us, okay, now move right, move left. If we're sensitive to the soft voice in the heart, we're getting the instruction from the Lord direct. And so it's often said that in the World War II that God is my co-pilot, because these people are out there getting shot up, you know, blasted away in the sky. And so they prayed for that. They prayed that God be my co-pilot. Of course, we know what Prabhupada said. The Germans are praying that all my husband and my father, everybody comes back. And the Americans are praying for the same thing. And everybody died. So they all became atheists. Most of the Germans. If you go to Germany today, you still feel it. You still feel it. Oppressive. That heavy attitude of, you know, lordship. The German is unfortunately like a very expert in many things. But he's also really puffed up. Not the devotee Germans, but no, outside Germans. So in any case, that's priority, you know, to know the goal. The goal is to see Paramatma, ultimately, and then certainly realize it in our heart. Then he will appear. And Prabhupada says it like that. If you follow this program and you're dedicated you know, you're searching for Paramatma, then Krishna will speak to you. And even on the altar, Krishna will speak. He says, that's available. Krishna will do that for you. And so, how many have had the opportunity? Anybody's, Krishna spoke to him? Nobody will say so. But anyway, it happens. It happens in Vrindavan. And there are many cases, I've heard, that, you know, and one devotee went into the samadhi, and he's thinking, what am I going to do with my life? I don't know what to do with it. I'm in a quandary. I have no idea where to go with it. And so he hears his voice, go to Delhi! And it was Prabhupada, you know, speaking very clearly to him. He was thinking, where should I go? Well, go to Delhi. There you can do some service. You can't do it here. Go to Delhi. So in any case, if he's not speaking directly, you can just, this is another little trick, you just open up Bhagavatam random, and you have a question in your mind. This is one of the, this goes back to the early psychedelic days. There are many vehicles by which you get answers from the, you know, the spirits. So one is this random opening of a book. So if you do that with the Bhagavatam, it's amazing what you'll come up with. You have some question, open a Bhagavatam, and there's your answer. Or if you have a question and you want a more specific answer, just go on a folio. It's a wonderful device. What an amazing thing. How many people use the folio? Raise your hand. Very little. Amazing. Amazing. It's the greatest device that a devotee has. Everything Prabhupada said, everything he wrote, everything is there on that folio. You can just click in and you got everything. I do it every morning. I mean, every time I give a class, I've written, I mean, the whole thing about devotional service and about prescribed duties. And Prabhupada said so many things about that. What is prescribed duty? It means that as a devotee, we have our chalked out our path back home, back to Godhead. Just by doing the same thing every day, repeated pattern, ultimately, like I'm saying on the altar, I do the same thing every day, 30 years, and by now I should know something, but I know nothing. It's just always increasing. The bliss is always overwhelming. It gets more and more and more. So I just speak from my own experience that for me it works. The process works. I have no doubt. I have no question anymore in my mind. Should I be this? Should I be that? Should I go there? Should I go there? No. Vrindavan is the place. It's absolute. Of course, Prabhupada told me to stay here, so I got no choice anyway. And so, but I see that there's bliss in everything. Now, from morning to night, there's not a time when I don't have any enemies, even. I hope not. But there's not a time when I feel involved in politics. Now, should I, like, you know, get involved in departmental management? Should I take on a position? Shall I become a guru? Shall I become this or that? No, life is too short, and it's too too exciting to be a devotee. And so, I mean, we're the most fortunate people on the face of the earth. And if we understand and take, you know, a grip of that, that there's nothing more in this material world than what we have as devotees. So there's no more, there's nothing more elevated. You can't go higher. To get devotional services, it's sum bonum, the supreme. And we've arrived at the top of the rung of the ladder. So now, here we are. Now what are we going to do with that? Become better devotee. Become a pure devotee. Become excelling and, you know, and just preach and spread this mission all over the world. And so that's the prescribed duties for a devotee. To learn it, matriculate it, and give classes that are inspiring. I try my best to pick out new things that, I mean, who knew that the sinful activity of cleaning a kitchen was going to, you know, hold a person back, but it's there. And so if you find that, what I see is the Bhagavatam is unlimited. There's so much knowledge. And why should we say the same thing over and over again, like, we're not these bodies, we're spirit souls. Everybody heard that so many times. So, but in terms of you know, exciting, you know, we're in the most exciting place. We have the most exciting philosophy. Why not give it the excitement it demands and present it in such an exciting fashion that it just sweeps you away? That now we should leave Bhagavatam so inspired that we go through the whole day until tomorrow when again it happens. We take that experience and that we just run with it. So Bhagavatam is meant for that, to inspire. And another, I see this happening. Prabhupada could do this, but I think it's an unforgivable crime to a devotee who does it. And that's saying, try to understand. Now, somebody sitting in the seat is, some days I crawl, I'm so sick, I got to crawl to get up here. But as soon as you get on the seat, then it's not you're not in command anymore. Krishna's in control. The spiritual master is speaking. You just become a mouthpiece. So those who say, try to understand. They're speaking from platform. Prabhupada could do it because he was talking to us who were completely idiots, you know, talking about something we had no idea where it's coming. Who is Krishna? What is this philosophy? No meat eating? No sex life? This can't be true. It's got to be crazy. I mean, this is like too much to accept. And so Prabhupada had to confront that. What could be more amazing than Prabhupada going to the West with no money and in a drug addicted? I mean, I was in that situation. I was there. I saw it. There's no hope. There's absolutely no way you can penetrate into this environment and bring Krishna consciousness and say things like, no sex life. Oh, I mean, that's like death. No drugs. Oh, that's worse. No meat eating. Oh, can't do it. No, finished. So he did it. He did it with just a few sweet words and Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And it was like a transformation. I lived right near the Tompkins Square Park. I go through there every day going uptown looking for a job. Unfortunately, I got the job before the chanting started in Tompkins Square Park. And I walked right by Prabhupada one day. I didn't even know who he was, of course. And I was just a sadhu. And it was just after he got in America. It was like 70. It was like at the beginning of 66. And I was just out of art school, trained to be an artist, to do book illustration specifically. So I missed that connection. It came later. Luckily, I got under the wire, finally. And Prabhupada gave a benediction, so much benediction. Those who met Prabhupada will never forget the experience. And, of course, we have that. And one thing I just want to end with is that Prabhupada is there. He's not left his body. He is here in his murti form, but he's so much present, you know, in all ways, in his books. And he's alive with these Bhagavatam classes. He set up a wonderful system by which we can all go back home, back to Godhead. And when we get there, we're going to meet all our friends, ISKCON in the sky. And so, and also all our enemies, they're going to be there too. Like Duryodhana was the first person that Yudhisthira saw. Oh my God, this is heaven, this is hell, I got to deal with this guy again. So, but that's what's going to happen. The spiritual sky, ISKCON, is going to have enemies there also. So there's like, you know, Chandravali, there's going to be inbred little politics, but it's all absolute. It's the Supreme Lord's abode. What could be more? Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any more questions? There must be somebody. There's one over there. You can bring that to you.
So this is a two-part question is, how do we know if we feel we are hearing some Paramatma or what have you, how do we know that's Paramatma instead of our imagination or some entity that may or may not be for our best interest, but definitely may or may not be the Paramatma? And also, how do we know that, like it says in the Guru has to be Paramatma realized, how can we tell if someone else is Paramatma realized if we are not?
That's
a
good question.
The old expression, it takes one to know one.
Two parts of that question.
Just add one more thing to clarify, is that, you know, sometimes two devotees will swear that they are right and they have adamantly different perspectives on things. We see that sometimes in life.
Well, pure devotee, you may look at it this way, is we see it here in Vrindavan. You know, a boy comes from the village and suddenly he's got a Rolex watch and silk. He's dressed, he's got garland on every day. And you know, he speaks, you know, puts on nice tilak. And so he looks to be like he's a devotee. And a pure devotee at best. But ultimately, it's not. The only way you can recognize a pure devotee is if you are one. So and we recognize Prabhupada as being pure because there was nothing in his class. Everybody around him seemed to be, you know, in the lower level. Even amongst his godbrothers. I mean, Prabhupada stood so much. He was shiny, effulgent. And he had so many qualities. I saw so many things. And Paramatma in the heart, that's a tough one. Because, well, Prabhupada would say, I think it was mentioned this, that if you realize Paramatma in the heart, you'll know about it. It's not a question of, and those who have that realization, like Prabhupada, I'll tell a few stories about Prabhupada's realization and how it manifests in front of us. And so the one time this devotee's looking through a keyhole. He's looking at Prabhupada in his room. And Prabhupada's rolling on the ground. He's rolling over and over on the floor. And so later he asked Prabhupada, I happened to look and see you were rolling on the ground. What were you doing? So I was wrestling with Balaram. I was wrestling with Balaram. Can you imagine? And so how many wrestle with Balaram? I mean, and Prabhupada could have many different, that's another one. What is his form in the spiritual world? He says, my form is golden. And he told Bhavananda that. He says, my form is golden. If I told you, you wouldn't believe it anyway. So we don't know. Some people know, but they're not telling. I know something, but I won't say. So it's mentioned, one of his godbrothers said something, Sridhar Maharaj mentioned, and there's a scuttlebutt. In other words, words passing around, who Prabhupada is in the spiritual world. But I'll tell you after class. Everyone wants to know. Can't talk about it. And so to recognize Paramatma in the heart, well, that's it, conscience. I mean, we know what conscience is. It's that little voice that speaks and says, okay, don't do it. You give first warning. Second warning, don't do it, I'm telling you. Third warning, I told you, don't do it. And the fourth time, it's at your own risk. Go ahead, do it. That means you're in big trouble. And so if you don't listen to that little voice, and if you listen, it'll be amazing. Turn right, turn left. No, don't stop. You left your beat bag. I just had a dream, a recent one. I have many Prabhupada dreams. So one dream, Prabhupada's working at his table, I'm working at one. The first dream that I had, it was Prabhupada's way off, just running with devotees, and I'm watching from a big distance. So this last dream, he's sitting at one table, I'm sitting at another, and I get up, and I can't find my bead bag, Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada, I found mine. I got mine. And so, in other words, he never lost his bead bag. And so he was always chanting. And I keep that with me always, so don't ever let it happen. Don't ever lose your bead bag, because it means that's your connection with life. It's like your life force is cut off. Suddenly you're having your hands cut off. So, it's a nice little, dream. But in Prabhupada, so many ways manifested, unusual qualities. And not just because, we saw them with great reverence and, love and affection, as Srila Prabhupada was towards us. I mean, so much love. Many devotees, they understood that here's a person that never cheat me. I can love him fully. And I've seen that happen so many times, that Prabhupada manifests so much love and affection for his disciples. And it carries on. I mean, this is not something that just happened. It's a story that happened some years ago. But it's an ongoing reality that anybody who joined a movement, anybody who picks up a bead bag, is chanting, gets into the flavor of this whole wonderful experience of being Krishna conscious. And so when that happens, there's nothing more in life. And if you find people who think they're in happiness and they're in the material world, they're just a big illusion, and ultimately it comes crashing down. But a devotee has that happiness inside and out. He's a registration of effulgence, of wonderful qualities that Krishna has inspired within. And so that's Paramatma realization, that you realize who you are. And Prabhupada said that, be the devotee, be conscious all the time. Don't be Krishna conscious. And so the first part of it is first, be conscious. At least that. Don't be sleeping all the time. One who sleeps too much, Prabhupada hated sleeping. It's just a waste of time. And so everything Prabhupada did was exemplary in many ways. And some examples. Like he came to L.A., and this was 75, and he came to the doll studio where I was working. We were making dioramas for the museum, first museum in L.A. And Prabhupada, he noted everything, small things that most people might overlook, but he picked up on it immediately. And the smallest thing was magnified. Like out on a road here in Vrindavan, another example, is that Prabhupada stopped everybody in the middle of the road and said, what is that? And they said, "Well, Srila Prabhupada, the bird's passing stool here." It's, no. What is that? It's a bird excretion. I mean, what would you say? You're standing there with all the devotees and there's bird stool on the road. And Prabhupada said, "Well, what is it?" Anybody know? Nobody knows. It's attachment. That bird is attached to that tree. He's passing in the same place. That means attachment. That's material world right there. That bird is attached to that limb. And so are everybody in the material world. They're attached to their family, their children, their house. Nothing detaches somebody from their house. Take their car away from them. You bang into their car, bang on their car, just like banging on their head. So attachment is so strong. And that's like the key factor of a devotee. He's detached. No longer is it his car, his house, his family, his wife, children. It's Krishna's. Ultimately, you know, we're only servants here. Our time frame is very short. These bodies are on hire. You know, whatever we have, it's just a time destruct. It's like in a process of evolving to the point of non-existence. So everything is temporary, but it's real. And those who are in doubt of that, just you walk out in front of a car and see if the car doesn't knock you over. It's real. So one thing that Prabhupada did say is that, okay, I'll finish the story about, you know, in a doll studio, that he, whatever he looked at, I mean, it was Krishna looking. He's looking at this Charlie Chaplin movie, and the devotee next to him is, you know the story. He's questioning, Srila Prabhupada's laughing at the movie. He didn't have the earphones on, but he was just watching because the film was Charlie Chaplin and a very funny silent film. So later he was asked by the devotee, and Prabhupada says, "Well, you may see something, but I'm seeing Krishna. That person is he's gifted by the Lord to be so funny. So that's what I'm seeing Krishna." And so he saw Krishna in everything. That's our vision should be the same way. We should look out from these eyes, you know, into the material world as if we're looking at the spiritual world. And if we see with that, and we see Krishna in everyone's heart, then we have pure vision. That's Paramatma realization. Any other questions? That was a good question, by the way. One more, and then we'll wrap it up. Anybody? You wait 30 seconds, and there's nobody. Okay, there's one. You have the microphone? Oh, right behind you.
Oh, I don't like mic. What happens if you said that some devotees, they ask Srila Prabhupada, they ask the deities, and they get an answer. But what happens if you don't get an answer?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, I think that exists in our society. A lot of people are confused in their service, and they're not getting answers that they would like to receive. And that may be a problem. And it may be a problem because people in the movement, they come from different past experiences. One thing is that Prabhupada mentioned like this, that you may be a beginner. You may have just come out of an animal body. You might have been a dog in your last life. Suddenly you're Krishna conscious, now you're a devotee. And so, and you're not getting answers and you wonder why, it's because of all the karmic static in the air. I mean, you got to clear the static. And the karma is like making things, there's a rumble going on inside of our brain, you know, and it was not getting clear, you know, pickup on, you know, what we should be doing. So the answers aren't coming. But if we're persistent, and if we're dedicated to serving the Lord, and not ourselves. This is the key, that, you know, many devotees, they're picking up on what they want, and they're asking the Lord, like this famous example, this friend of mine, he had this one girl he wanted to marry like anything. He's always praying to Radharani, "Please, please, you know, allow that girl, I want to marry her like anything." And so he kept praying to Radharani, 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 and suddenly he got it. She married him, and he had never been happy since. So you got to be careful what you ask for. And so it can be the depth of your whole life. I mean, what you ask for is very important because you get it. I mean, that's what happens in devotional service. It's not like, you know, there's in the karmis, they've got a thing called the law of abundance. and the law of attraction. So these laws work in the universe. You think and think of something you want, and you'll get it, but it may not always be the right thing. There's one person, famous story, he was in London during the bombing, the Second World War. And so he kept praying, "Oh, my Lord, find me a place where there's peace. I'll go to a South Sea island where there's absolutely nothing there." And so he did. He went to a place called Midway. You know what happened at Midway? It was the worst place because all the bombing, the Japanese bombed, the Americans were bombing there. Everybody got bombed in Midway. So he went from London where there was a little bombing. You know, it happened for a while. But he went to Midway where it was constant bombing. So you got to be very careful what you ask for. And if you're not getting answers, there may be a reason because, okay, it means, like there are three things, and these sociologists will say, some things are left undone. They'll match up, they'll solve their problems, are solved sometimes automatically. There's some problems where you have to address and do immediately because you can't wait. These are emergency. This is like, what do they call it? They call it crisis management. You have to do it now. And so if you allow your life to be crisis management, where you're like always in a state of turmoil, and you're like, you're thinking, oh my God, man, how am I going to get up in the morning? How am I going to go to sleep at night? I can't sleep. I can't get up. I can't do anything right. So if you're in a process of constant, criticism in your own mind, you're self-defiling yourself. And so where's the chance of being Krishna conscious? So the idea is clear up all that static. And just the chanting of the holy name is meant for that. And once we are clear, then it comes in very sweet, very soft. There's silent, beautiful music coming. Paramatma has got a sweet little voice and it's saying, okay, now's the time to chant. I'll tell another little story. That I'm sleeping in this dream, and so, my wife is sleeping there. And so Prabhupada comes in. He starts screaming, "Now's the time to get up. Now's the time to take care of your spiritual life. Get serious now." So, okay. I woke up. I wrote it all down. Went back to sleep. There's more to it. Then I go back to sleep, and there he is again. This time he's carrying a big marble plaque, and chiseled on that plaque are big words in Latin. And so Prabhupada said, "Can you read Latin?" I said, "Yes, Srila Prabhupada." I know Italian, so the Latin is almost the same. Now, what does it say? Chiseled in big letters on that marble plaque was, "Get serious about your spiritual life." And so, second time. And he come a third time. So, I kept turning the light on, turning the light off, and so, third time, it was just, okay, very good. You're getting serious about your spiritual life. But do it now! And so it has to be like that. We have to be very clear. And we should never accept service from the Supreme Lord or Radharani or the spiritual master. We should always be in a serving mood. And so if we are serving, then ultimately, the greatest benediction comes. There's no limit to the amount of mercy that can flow. And if we want to hear Krishna talk, it's just a matter of chanting that holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And all perfection is there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Brahmanandi, Hare Bo.
Why would it be that? Come on now. हाँ यार अब क्या करना है मैं निकला भी नहीं जिस तरह से